Hello, and welcome to episode 325 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. We invite you to come along with us. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website or Facebook. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy and George. Atlas Ocean Voyages is a brand new cruise line that we're all abuzz about at Outlander Travel HQ. We have an HQ, y'all. Did you know that? This new luxury line sets sail later this year for the very first time from Europe, and by November we'll be enjoying a season in Antarctica. That's right, a bucket list trip for many an adventurous traveler. Antarctica is a barely discovered continent teeming with wildlife, ice, amazing scenery, ice, and did I mention ice? But with an adventure like this, you deserve a soft landing as well, and Atlas is here to provide. With us tonight to talk about this beautiful new cruise line is Kathy Kasuma, Regional Sales Director. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yay! Thanks for having me.
Let's get started. Yes, it's a pleasure. So tell us a little bit, brand new cruise line seems like a great time to do that. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I mean, we're not going to let a little tiny global pandemic stop us from living out our dream, right? So no.
That's so scary about that. Yeah.
We've got a lot of people, you know, it's probably the first question that everyone asks me is, why in the world did you want to start a brand new cruise line in the middle of a global pandemic? Well, it wasn't really in the cards to do it that way. It's actually been in the works for a couple of years now. So before all of this really kind of, you know, before the world stopped briefly. You know, it's actually been a good thing for us. We obviously, like all other major travel companies, kind of paused there for a little bit, paused our marketing and that type of thing. But for the most part, you know, it's actually been kind of a good news story to bring something new and different into you know, existence. It's been a really fun journey working with them, you know, getting the cruise line ready and ready to launch the ship. Our first ship is actually being built in the shipyard in Portugal right now, and it launches in July of this year. I can't believe I get to say this year now.
Yay!
Right, I've been saying next year, but it's this year. you know, it's actually been good because people, I think, you know, a lot of people have been sitting around at home and really dreaming about travel. And I think when we get back to more of a normal travel schedule and people get back to cruising, I think they're going to look at some small ship options and we fit that bill. So it's been really nice. Plus, you know, we don't have any sort of stigma or anything. You know, we've never sailed before. Our ship is brand new, being constructed right now. No one's ever stepped foot on board before. So that's kind of good. And of course, we'll have all the latest and greatest technology and safety protocols at the time the ship launches. So a lot of good things, I think, have kind of come out of this. And to make the best of a kind of yucky situation, it's been kind of a good thing in terms of getting the word out. It's exciting.
So before we dig in too much, since you mentioned technology, are you following the same safety protocols that some of these cruise lines are having to go back and retrofit? I mean, sort of where are you in that process and how are you incorporating the new world of cruising into this new product?
So we definitely will. We are working, you know, our parent company also has ships in Europe. They're kind of a European facing large umbrella company. We're their North American brand, which is kind of the new portion of it, new startup here. So their ships are already, you know, establishing all of those protocols and following protocols in Europe. So we'll be doing the same thing in terms of, you know, the safety protocols on board and what's expected. We are looking at technology, and I think, you know, it may be a little while before we announce, when we get a little bit closer to the ship sailing, we'll announce what that looks like, just because things change every 5 minutes, it seems, with what's going on. So we want to make sure that we've got the latest and greatest. But that's the great thing about being in the shipyard, is we can kind of tweak things as we go and make some changes up until the last minute if we need to. So it's been really good.
Perfect.
Do you anticipate having any kind of like vaccine requirements? Anything like that?
I don't know yet. Actually, that's a discussion that we've been having in the office. I know that some cruise lines have already, you know, come out and said that all of their team members will be vaccinated and all of their guests will need to be vaccinated. I'm not exactly sure yet. I think we're kind of waiting to see what the airlines do, because, and some countries, since we cruise worldwide, you know, if airlines make it a mandatory factor, that kind of you know, puts us on the back burner because people will have to be vaccinated to fly and to travel most of these destinations. And then again, different ports of call. So we're kind of waiting to see kind of what shakes out in the next few months with that before we take a hard stance, I think, one way or the other. Because we are, you know, a smaller ship, we have under 200 guests on board. Technically, we don't fall under the CDC guidelines. We will obviously be following those protocols and then some, just because, you know, we want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and that everything's done properly. But, you know, I think there are a few different regulations that could probably be, you know, without going through page by page of what 75 points that they're asking the cruise lines to adhere to. I'm sure that there are some that may or may not apply to some of the smaller ships too. So
that is one of the appeal factors too, as we move forward into cruising, if you want to avoid big crowds, looking
at for sure.
Alluded to that before, where small small ships seem to be getting quite a lot of attention right now
because for sure.
they have fewer people on board, which is a good thing. So, talk about that small ships and talk about the company a little bit and sort of what the goal is and where you're headed over this next, because you've got a busy couple of years ahead of you, according
to
the schedule.
Yeah, we certainly do. So we are building 5 ships, and they're all sister ships, all be identical, just under 10,000 tons each. All of them will be certified for ice exploration because we will be doing both what we call internally warm water cruising versus cold water cruising. We'll be doing both because right now we've only announced the itineraries for our first ship, World Navigator. She'll be sailing in Europe and then transitioning from the transatlantic. We'll bring her down Caribbean, Amazon, and South America before she kicks off the Antarctica season. But we've only announced those itineraries so far, but all of our ships will be able to do ice exploration, so do expeditions in cold water and in warm water as well. It's seasonal, so we want to make sure that we have something to do the other half of the year, and we want to, you know, develop that loyalty with our customers as well and give them a little bit of everything. So they'll keep coming back and sailing with us. But it'll be really interesting to get out there and see what things are like when we're sailing again. I'm very excited about it. Our ships are going to be green. We're very, very proud of the fact that we're building these small ships, but also obviously with all the latest and greatest features on board, we also feature this hybrid propulsion, propellerless technology, which is really cool. We consume a lot less fuel, so it makes us very environmentally friendly. And then we also have anchorless positioning system, which is great for an expedition ship since we go to a lot of remote, out-of-the-way destinations. So that means that we can navigate into these different places without disturbing any of the marine environment. So that's super exciting. So all 5 of our ships will feature that. We'll have, like I said, just under 200 guests on board. We actually don't even fill the ship to that number. It's 196 guest double occupancy normally, but in Antarctica we only fill it to 186 because we save some of our staterooms for our experts that come on board to help kind of round out our expedition team. So it'll be really great. And again, our company's brand new to the U.S. Atlas Ocean Voyages was kind of born from our parent company, which is Mystic Invest Holding, or Mystic Cruises, some people may have heard of. They're what is now the third largest river cruise operator in the world. They have Duro Azul Cruises, Nico Cruises, which is a German river cruise line. Duro Azul is a Portuguese cruise line, and Mystic Cruises as well. So we've got about 25 years of cruising experience under our belt from our parent company, but they really wanted to come up with a North American brand that would take kind of a small ship luxury feel and marry that with the expedition experience. So we've kind of carved out our own niche for ourselves. We call it Lux Adventure. You'll hear me refer to the word luxe versus luxury a lot because we don't want to come across as stuffy and overly formal, because it won't be that way on board at all. It'll be very much laid back, a very casual, elegant feel, but not over the top with formalities. However, it is definitely for those people that like the finer things in life. So, you know, if you're used to luxury and have gone on luxury cruises before, then you'll be very pleased on board. It's just in more of a casual, laid back setting. So that's kind of the idea.
So you don't have to wear your tuxedo to get into the Zodiac to go.
No tuxedos. No formal nights on board. It's all resort casual. All open seating dining as well. So it'll be very nice. The idea is to have a very a top-notch experience on board in terms of your service and food and experiences. But we want people to be able to let their hair down, have a little bit of, do I dare use the word, fun while they're on board. I know that has one major mass market line has a monopoly on that word, but other people can have fun too. We want people to really enjoy their experiences, revel in the expedition that they just came off their Zodiac, or maybe they've come in from doing this amazing tour in Europe and they come back on board the ship. We want them to, you know, stop and really, you know, enjoy and revel in the fact of they just did something really unique and different and enjoyable and made memories with their loved ones or friends of theirs that they've traveled with. We don't want them to worry about rushing to get dinner and ready for dinner and dressed and all of that. We want them to come on board and have a cocktail and talk about it and really enjoy that and do things on their own time. But also, you know, be spoiled at the same time. So that's kind of the idea.
I like it. Sign me up. So let's talk a little bit about Antarctica because it's on a lot of bucket lists, but that doesn't mean that everybody really knows what cruising Antarctica is like. So I'd love it if you could share a little bit of that experience, like what one expects on a cruise in Antarctica and why Atlas might be a good choice. You know, it's a little bit different from other cruise lines that do go to the Antarctic.
So I would start with, if you've never been on an expedition to Antarctica before, but you have been on cruises before, they're not the same. Like, to put it out there that it is a completely different experience. You know, there are some cruise lines that do cruise by Antarctica. We are an expedition line. So we actually get you out there. We have 18 Zodiacs on board each of our ships. We have a fully guided expedition team that will take people out on those Zodiacs because of the size of our ship and because our ship all of them will be polar class C. Their ice class is 1B. So they have that reinforced hull that can navigate through the ice. We will be taking people out together and we will do two Antarctic landings per day, which is a huge thing. Not all cruise lines are able to do that based on their size or based on their ship certification. So we can essentially get, and there's lots of regulations in Antarctica too. So you can only have 100 people at a time on land in a fully guided experience. So we can do that twice a day, which means we can get all of our guests off every day that we're in Antarctica. But I think it's really important to note that if people have not been before, that they have cruised before, it's not like you're cruising to a destination and you're going to get off the ship and walk around in a small town and see some buildings and do some tours and come back on board. It's not that at all. It is true expedition. You get off and you get on a little Zodiac and that hold 10 people with a guide. You'll actually, you know, at Atlas, we actually give you a parka and you can, that's yours to keep. It's your nice little souvenir or big souvenir actually from your trip. So, you know, you can always make sure to leave your big jackets at home because we'll give one to you and you can take that home with you. But we gear you up and we actually give you what we call muck boots or these knee boots. They come up over, rubber boots come up over your knees. We'll give you safety gear and equipment and binoculars and you'll be all set for your expedition. And so it's a really cool experience to kind of round everything out. You actually go out onto a retractable platform with our guides. They'll help you into the Zodiacs and you actually do what we call either beach landings or wet landings. So you actually get off and that's the reason for the boots. You actually step off into the water. It's a little bit chilly. So we don't want you to feel all that. And then you go on a fully guided expedition and explore around. And, you know, we have a whole team of experts that will make up our expedition team. They're all obviously naturalists, but it'll be comprised of marine biologists. We have ornithologists that study birds. We have a glaciologist. Who knew that was a thing? but they study ice and glaciers. We have geologists that study the land. We'll have expert photographers as well. That will all make up different members of our team, and each one of them will take guided tours and give you tips on what to see. There's all kinds of briefings that will take place beforehand about safety, but also about what to expect, what you're going to see, how to take the best pictures while you're there and make the most of the expedition as well. So lots of really fun things to think about. No two cruises in Antarctica are ever alike, that is for sure. We have what we call captain's choice on our itineraries, which means exactly what it sounds like. Our captain is always in constant contact with any other boat or ship captains that's in the area. And they share information on, obviously, their location, the weather, because the weather does change pretty frequently and quickly in Antarctica. And they share, the latest wildlife that they've seen. They'll talk about the ice and the glacier calving or icebergs and interesting things. They'll talk about safety. So it's really up to the captain as to the best place to do the landings. We always send a test crew out with our expedition team to make sure that it's safe and that everything is, it's a good place to do one of our landings. And then that's how we kind of establish where we're going to do our different guided tours for the day. We also do ice cruises in our Zodiacs, even if we don't land, they go around and looking for pods of whales and seals and, the different ice formations and that type of thing too. So lots of fun things to talk about, Antarctica. Yeah. So, it's definitely a life-changing experience. It's definitely something that it truly is a bucket list experience. You can't really compare it to much else, out there in terms of cruising. There are other cruise lines that do expeditions and there are other cruise lines that do luxury, but we kind of marry the two together and try and give you both experiences at the same time.
What is the season for Antarctica?
So it's really November to March, which coincidentally is the season that we're there, but Antarctica only has two seasons. It's the summer season, which is the November to March time where it's pretty much daylight around the clock for the most part. And then it's got they have their winter season where it's pretty much dark around the clock. So we can really only sail there during the lighter times. But we do split it up into three time periods. We've got the early season, the mid season, and the late season. So early season is about early November to about mid December or so. That's usually the cooler time. It's really good for photography because it's pristine. Usually the white snow is there. You're coming right out of their winter season there. So it's great for photography. And then you come into the mid season, which is about mid December through end of January or thereabouts. They call that the birthing season. Because you see a lot of the penguins, and actually the male penguins are the ones that sit on the eggs. So you can see them kind of sitting there getting ready to hatch the eggs. And so that's when a lot of the mating happens in that time period as well. And at the warmest temperatures, it starts to warm up a little bit. So it makes navigation a little bit easier. And then the late season is about the end of January to the end of March. And that's the best time in terms of navigation because, again, it's the warmest temperature. So it really does make things kind of a little bit easier to get in and out of. And then it's the best time of the year to see the mammals. So there's more whales generally in this time of year, as well as seals. And of course, that's the time you'll see the baby seals and you'll see a lot of the babies from the birthing season. Just prior to that, you'll see a lot of little baby penguins marching around too. So a lot of cool things to see and take note of. Depending on where you're going in Antarctica, you'll see different types of penguins and types of seals. If you're able to stay there a little bit longer and go a little bit further out, then you'll have the opportunity hopefully to see some different types of wildlife while you're there too. And there's lots of different birds and things to see too.
So when you say warmer temperatures.
Yes.
What temperatures are we talking here?
We're talking about, and this is consistent pretty much through the November to March season, is about 27 to about 33 degrees Fahrenheit. So not quite as cold as you would think. However, what a lot of people don't realize about Antarctica is that it's actually a desert. It's very, very dry there. So that's why it's classified as a desert. So even though it gets cold and sometimes the wind can be very chilly, it also is bright and sunny there quite often too, which is why we advise everybody to wear layers under their big heavy parkas. You know, sometimes people will actually peel off their parkas. They'll have like a long sleeve jacket on and maybe a fleece on under that. But at times you will be able to kind of peel those off depending on the weather, but it also changes very quickly too, because it can be bright and sunny one minute and then kind of windy and a little bit icy the next minute. So that's why the captain keeps a close eye on the weather and in contact with everyone else to see what kind of interesting weather fronts are coming in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and we talked about a lot of ologists, there might be some onomers as well. So talk about this special itinerary that's happening for the only time in 400 years, as I understand.
Yes. So we actually have one itinerary on November 28th of next year. Or no, sorry, this year.
This year.
I did it already. I can't get used to it. So this year, November 28th of 2021, we actually have a special 12-night itinerary called our Solar Eclipse Antarctica Cruise. And we're super excited about it because, again, once every 400 years, a full solar eclipse can be visible from this area of the world. So if you miss it, you got to wait another 400 years to go. So that's probably not the best thing. You definitely want to make sure you're
not a good strategy. Yeah,
yeah. It's a long time to wait. but no, it's super exciting. It's a great itinerary. It's a round trip Ushuaia, Argentina. So all of our itineraries in Antarctica are round trip Ushuaia. But this one is very special. In addition to all of the different naturalists and experts that we have on board in general for our expedition team, we're actually going to bring on some astronomers for this one to talk about what they're going to witness and what they're going to see in terms of the solar eclipse. So we're really excited about that so that we can really enhance that experience. And of course, our captain is hopeful that we'll get the ship all the way out a little bit further than we normally would on a 9-night itinerary. This is actually a 12-night itinerary. He wants to try and take everybody out to the Sandwich Islands and South Georgia out there, which will put us in the best position really to view that solar eclipse. It's also a great time to be able to see some of those different species of penguins and seals out there. So if you can get all the way out there, then sometimes you can see those king penguins and emperor penguins. Those are the ones that get 3 and 4 feet tall. I'm like, that's the size of my son. That's crazy. like a little penguin. And sometimes you can see different types of, sometimes you can see some larger seals, like elephant seals out there. Those are the ones that are really, really big, and they've got kind of the funny, you know, almost like a trunk in face. Mm-hmm. I guess that's where they get their names. But you can actually get a little bit further out to see different types of wildlife out there as well. So it'll be a really special cruise. It's actually been quite popular. So we've got a lot of people that were very, very interested in that. We do have some space still available on that trip, but I was just told that all the suites are sold out and we have a wait list. So we're very excited about that cruise. And
Sounds so cool. So I want to talk a little bit, as we've talked about this, you know, there are people who do luxury cruising, there are people who do expedition cruising, and there's definitely a market, obviously, for those two to meet. But let's clarify a little bit about what this will entail, because it isn't like a very, it probably isn't ideal for someone who isn't super active. Would I be correct in saying that?
So no expedition cruise is really good for somebody who isn't able to be fairly mobile, obviously. You know, if you're going to get off into a Zodiac and with 10 other people and go explore and actually do some wet or beach landings where you're stepping in, you know, out of the boat into the water to get onto the shore, you really do have to be fairly mobile for that to happen. We, you know, are anticipating based on the not just our itineraries, but also kind of our marketing and what we're offering in terms of shore excursions on both our warm water cruises as well as our Antarctica expeditions. We do feel like we're going to skew a little bit on the active side. We think that people who are a little bit more adventurous will be interested in joining us. We're going to have some really popular shore excursions that'll do some different kind of bucket list type things too. We will have hang gliding. We will have dune buggy rides in the desert. We will have, scuba diving and yoga on the beach and those types of a little bit more active things. We'll have camping overnight on the ice in Antarctica for those that want to do it, and some snowshoeing. But we're also going to offer something for everyone. I don't ever want that to scare anyone off. We'll have three different levels of shore excursions, kind of a mild, moderate, and more vigorous or adventurous type. We definitely want to make sure, even though we call ourselves Lux Adventure, we want to make sure that the adventure piece of it isn't too scary, because adventure is really what you make it. Adventure for us could be, you know, going hang gliding or taking a hot air balloon ride over the rock formations in Cappadocia, or it might just be getting off the ship in a different port of call that you've never been to before and just roaming around and exploring a new town. Or it could be, you know, taking a cooking class in Italy. It could be, doing something new and different in Greece. Or it could be getting on a Zodiac with a guide and going around and seeing these amazing penguins, or chasing a pod of whales and learning about, you know, the seventh continent. So it really is what you make of it when we talk about adventure. Although we do think that people will probably skew a little bit more on the active side, we'll definitely have something for everybody on board.
Awesome. So talk a little bit about what, you know, with a luxury line, the price goes up a little bit, which is expected, but oftentimes more things are included. So can you talk a little bit about what's included other than these awesome adventures that you can have? What is included?
Sure. Yeah, we pretty much everything is included. We've made a few announcements over the last few weeks as well. It kind of in dribs and drabs to really kind of put it out there that we really are, when we say we're all inclusive, and we like to say we're all inclusive all the way. We really are. So not just obviously the cruise is included, all of your gourmet international cuisine, all of your premium beer, wine, and spirits, soft drinks, non-alcoholic beverages, your bottled water, all of that is included in the price. Gratuities is all obviously included. If you get a suite, your butler service is included. And from what I hear, once you have a butler, you'll never again want to sail without one. there's an awful lot of things. We just announced recently that we are also including one free shore excursion per person per port now. And it's not just one tour that we hand over to you and say, this is your free tour. We give you a list to choose from in each of the ports of call and destination. So that'll vary depending on the destination. For Antarctica, all of our ice cruises and all of our Zodiac landings are all fully guided and fully included. We do always have a few extra add-on shore excursions or a little more adventurous ones, like if you want to do the overnight camping on the ice or go snowshoeing or kayaking or paddleboarding in the glaciers, that is an optional shore excursion. Some people, you know, are really excited about doing some unique things like that, but we realize that that's not for everybody. So those are optional. So those are included. I think the biggie that is included is that we include round trip international airfare from 16 different gateways in the U.S. and Canada. And for Antarctica, we actually include private charter jet service to Ushuaia and back, and that is fully included in the price, and suite guests actually are automatically upgraded to business class, and that's included in the price of the cruise. So it's a really, really great deal and value when you stop and check. And again, there's other things included like laundry and dry cleaning services and standard Wi-Fi and those different types of things as well. Pretty much everything you can think of is included in the price. So we make it really a really great value for everyone. We don't want anyone to show up on board the ship and feel like they're nickeled and dimed for any reason. We want them to get there and really enjoy the experience on board.
That air is really something special, especially to Ushuaia, because I've sent clients there before and it's not an easy journey. You know, most other, it's not someplace you can just easily get to. So that charter air is That's really nice. People will arrive refreshed and ready to go. And
it'll be a full Atlas experience from the moment they step on that plane until the moment they get there. So it'll all be branded Atlas. We'll feed you. There'll be drinks flowing. It's actually an overnight flight that will get you there in plenty of times. So it's nice and comfortable. And we're super excited to be able to do that. It really is, I think, in this industry and in this expedition market, a game changer, because like you said, the lift to get down to Ushuaia is tricky because it usually requires at least one overnight on either end of the voyage, which not only tax on cost, but also that time to get there and jet lag and that type of thing. So the idea for us to get everybody there as quickly as possible and make it part of the fun and part of the expedition and the adventure, I think is really a game changer for this market.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and a lot of those planes will change in cities in South America that have two airports where you end up moving, right, having to transfer between airports, which is not, I mean, that's not a fun thing to do. So
it's not always an easy task either.
It is challenging. So that is super magical. So we've talked a lot about Antarctica, but obviously you're not only going to Antarctica. And I know you mentioned earlier, you haven't announced all of your itineraries, just the ones for this ship. But talk about some of the other, you have a program called Max Shore that I definitely want to talk about. But some of these other itineraries, while you're talking about Max Shore, maybe give some hints as to what else people can do on this beautiful ship.
Yeah, so we actually start our journey. Our inaugural cruise will start and take place July 17th of 2021 of this year. And we do our first cruise in the Aegean Sea. It's an 11-night Valletta, Malta to Athens. And then from there, we have two Black Sea cruises. We've got three Holy Land cruises that take really a deeper dive into that section of the world. And then we've got two Western Med cruises. After that, it sets us up for nicely to do our transatlantic crossing from Lisbon over to Barbados. And then we'll do one South America Amazon trip. We actually stop in Belém for the mouth of the Amazon tours. And then we make our way down the east coast of South America and then end up in Ushuaia, which kicks off our expedition season in November. But we got some really amazing itineraries, especially in Europe. The Max Shore program, I love. And I think, the majority of our cruises are generally between 9 and 12 nights long for the most part. We do have some that are a little bit shorter, like 7 or 8 nights, no shorter than 7 nights. And we do have some that are a little longer, like 15 nights. But we do a lot of overnights and we do a lot of late night calls or longer stays in port. We're very port intensive line. But with our overnights, we actually try when possible intentionally to schedule them on either end of the cruise. So either an embarkation port or a disembarkation port. And we do that intentionally so that when we have the opportunity, we can tie them two cruises back to back together with a fully included land tour. And that's where we came up with our Max Shore itineraries. So a Max Shore itinerary essentially is two back-to-back cruises with a land tour right there in the center that takes you inland for a few days, and it's one price. So it's actually cheaper than if you price out two back-to-back cruises on their own to do the whole back-to-back cruise and Max Shore land portion in the center. We've got several of them. Right now we've got, let's say, three Max Shore itineraries that are still for sale. We had one with our two back-to-back Black Sea cruises, which actually sold out. The Max Shore in the middle was so popular because, it was tying our two Black Sea cruises together, and actually in the center had a trip over to Kiev and then visit Chernobyl. And so that one actually has completely sold out. Some people think, oh my goodness, who would want to do that? And then other people are like, oh, I can't wait to do it.
Because I have a friend who did get a Chernobyl.
My oldest son is amazing. Dying to go. Yeah,
It looks so cool. All the radiation levels have been tested and it's perfectly safe for people to be there. Otherwise, we wouldn't bring people there. But it is a really unique and very interesting type place to visit. We do still have, if there are people that are interested in that, we do still have some pre and post options available at very limited quantities that still include Chernobyl. So there may be a few spots still available for that. The Max Shore itself isn't for sale any longer. However, we do have three other itineraries. We've got two that actually, one of them is the Hot Springs of Pamukkale, which actually takes you from one journey. You start the cruise in, I think it's in Odessa, And then you disembark the ship in Istanbul, and then you'll have a full 4 days, 3 nights opportunity there to go inland into different places in Turkey, including the Pamukkale Hot Springs. And then you rejoin the ship in Kapez, and then you'll have that second cruise where you can, again, spend the next 15 days. So it's really like a vacation within a vacation. We've got a couple of those. We've got one that takes you to Cappadocia, and again, includes those beautiful hot air balloon rides. And then we've got one in the Holy Land, which actually has a total of 24 days. So again, for people that are looking to spend a little bit longer in that area of the world, want to take a deeper dive, it's a great opportunity. Our Holy Land one actually has a little bit longer land tour in the middle. It's a 5-night, 6-day land excursion that takes you into Petra and Jordan. You go glamping under the stars with a local Bedouin. You visit Tel Aviv before you rejoin the ship. And that secondary cruise actually takes you into Cairo for the pyramids and Alexandria. Really great itineraries there that again tie it all together for one value. And in that land tour, again, it's all done with that same level of luxe that you're used to on board our ships. But we take care of the transfers, the meals, the hotels, the guides, everything. Again, all in that luxe adventure type spirit that come with it. So it's a seamless part of the vacation that kind of splits it up nicely and really gives you a great opportunity to see a whole lot in that particular area of the world as well.
Yeah, I love it because I think your expedition folks often want to do more land. That's one thing.
Sure.
Reason people stay away from cruises is, oh, I really want to get into the land. I don't want to just be here for a few hours. And so having not only the longer port stays, but then that option of that land tour. And it's not like, oh, we're going to take you out there for a couple of days and you'll hang out. And then it's like involved great tours. Like you said, yep. Includes some amazing things that you might not be able to do on your own. So,
sure.
Or it would be harder to do on your own. So very,
are these
very cool.
Are they all adult only, or are there any family
ones? So we get that question a lot. So we're a small ship. We only have 98 staterooms and suites on board total. But we do have some triple accommodations that can accommodate 3 people. We don't have any that can accommodate 4. We don't have any quads, but we do have some triples. And even though we don't necessarily cater to children, for example, we don't have a kids program or a kids menu, but we certainly don't exclude children as well. We know that in our price point and the product that we're advertising, we think that people are going to want to obviously enjoy that with their family, and they want to share those experiences with the people that they love. So we certainly would welcome them on board. However, there are some age restrictions for Antarctica due to safety reasons. So you have to be 8 years old or older to travel to Antarctica. And all of our other itineraries, we just say 12 months and up. But yeah, we certainly welcome families on board. And we really think that, you know, I know just from being an only child and traveling with my parents that I learned so much just traveling with them than I did, you know, staying at home and sitting in a classroom the whole time. So mm-hmm. We definitely want to encourage that. So
100%. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. We want to thank our guest a lot, Kathy Kasuma,
Yay!
Once again for being here tonight and sharing this amazing new cruise line with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
On behalf of Sandy, George, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly!